You know, some of us on these Sunday phone hookups are a little older than other folks. And those of us that are in that category, I think we like to think of ourselves as not only getting older, but hopefully wiser. But I think most of you know that twice a month I have the privilege of teaching God's Word to a group of seniors at Desert Winds Retirement Center. And there's a lady there who is not a part of our Bible fellowship there at the present time. Who knows? Maybe she'll join our group sometime. But she just had a birthday, and here is what the retirement center posted about her birthday. Mary has been fabulous since 1915. That's right. Mary turned 106 last week. She is still very active around Desert Winds, taking daily laps around the building and riding her favorite stationary bike. Mary says the trick to staying young is you have to stay active or you lose what God gave you. She is an inspiration to all that meet her. Please join us in wishing Mary a very happy birthday. Wow, 106, well, God bless her. I think we'd all like to live a long, healthy life. I'd like to live to be a healthy 106, but as you know, there's no guarantees. But here's what I do know and believe. It's not how long you live, but how you live your life that really counts. You know, Kathy and I were talking to a young lady about prayer earlier this week, and in the conversation it came up about being thankful each day for a new day to live. And she agreed that each new day is a gift from God. So let's all live our lives today and make it count in whatever we do. So before we get into the Bible this morning, we're going to take some time for prayer. Today is Sunday, January the 31st, 2020. End of the month. My goodness. If you would, please take your Bibles and go to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. John, chapter 9, we're going to look at this wonderful record. There's a number of things I'll point out to you in this record in John, chapter 9. I'm sure you're familiar with it, heard it maybe once or twice before. In John, chapter 9, and in verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, born blind. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Why did they ask that? Well, first, even back then, some taught that if something bad happens, well, it's because you've sinned. The Bible does not teach that when bad things happen, it's because you have sinned. Many times religion teaches that in order to try to get people to not sin. But think about it. In the Old Testament, in the record of Joseph, for example, a lot of bad things happened to Joseph, but none of it was a result of him sinning. And yes, of course, a person can walk away from God, walk away from his protection and blessings, and there are consequences for our actions. But just because something bad happens, it doesn't mean it's because a person was sinning. And secondly, you know, they said, who did sin, this man or his parents? Wait a minute. How could this man sin before he was even born? You know, it says he was born blind. Well, again, even back then, there were those who believed in the false teaching of reincarnation. So let's look at Jesus' answer. They said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus first answered the question that the man's blindness was not caused by the parent's sin or by the man himself. Well, that makes it pretty clear reincarnation teachings are kind of bogus. But the rest of the verse might seem a bit puzzling. because it says, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. At first glance, this may look like Jesus said, the man was born blind so that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, to think that God would make someone incomplete just so that God could heal them, that is definitely not biblical. The Bible says that Jesus Christ always did the Father's will. And if you look, keep your finger here in John 9 and look at Acts, if you would, for just a moment. Acts chapter 10. This will help to clear this up. In Acts chapter 10, Peter was preaching at Cornelius' house, and in verse 38, Peter said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God anointed him, God sent him, and God was with him, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. If God made people sick or incomplete or caused people to die, then Jesus Christ went about undoing the Father's work, but not so. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So back to John 9, and we're in verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You may be familiar that in the oldest manuscripts of the scriptures, there was no punctuation. All the punctuation, commas, periods, all that, they've all been added by translators, and many times they're helpful. Other times they can lead to questions and confusion. When it says there in verse 3, that the works of God should be made manifest in him, a phrase like that indicates a reason for something. But that cannot be the reason. That the works of God should be made manifest in him, that can't be the reason for the man's blindness, because that contradicts other scriptures. But you see in verse 4 a statement. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Verses 3 and 4 would be more accurately understood. Jesus answered, verse 3, neither has this man sinned nor his parents. However, that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. And it's very clear that the context here is the works of God. And as we'll see in this record, the works of God are the works of healing, not blindness. In order for the works of God to be made manifest in the blind man, it was necessary for Jesus to do the works of God, which are healing and deliverance. So now we get to verse 5. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Wow, isn't that wonderful? Born blind, and now he sees. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, hey, is not this he that sat and begged? Isn't that that blind guy? Some said, yeah, that's him. Others said, well, it looks like him. Yep. You're right, it's me. Therefore, said they, these are the neighbors, they said, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Well, isn't that exactly what happened? Yeah. They said, how in the world can you see now? This man called Jesus. He anointed mine eyes. He said, go wash it. It's done. They said unto him, well, where is he? He went, I don't know. Oh, this guy's so excited and happy. And they're like, well, where is this Jesus? He's, I don't know. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, the religious leaders. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Jesus Christ, if you're familiar with the Gospels, was always getting in trouble with the religious people for doing the will of the Father on the Sabbath day, for doing healing. Then again, verse 15, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. How did this happen? He said unto them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. And others said, well, okay, but how can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. The Pharisees, these religious leaders, they're not in agreement. You know, some of them are saying, you cannot do things on the Sabbath. You must be a sinner. And somebody said, well, yeah, but how can he be a sinner if he did this thing? It's a miracle. They say unto the blind man again, well, what do you say of him? That he's opened your eyes. And the man who had received his sight, duh, he's a prophet. Hello. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. This guy wasn't born blind. This is some sort of a trick here. Somebody's trying to pull the wool over our eyes. So they didn't believe him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, bring the parents in now. Is this your son? This man standing over here, is that your boy? Who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? How did he get his sight back? So it's kind of three questions. Is this your son? You're saying he was born blind? How does he have his sight now? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. Well, of course, you'd know your own child, right? Yes, he's our son. And that he was born blind. I think they would know more than anyone else that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we don't know. Or who hath opened his eyes, we don't know. He's old enough, he's of age, why don't you just ask him? He shall speak for himself. Do you think for a minute the parents didn't know how this happened? The neighbors all knew. I mean, someone born blind, living in that condition for so many years, do you not think one of the first people you would want to see is your mom and dad? I bet he ran home. Look, I can see. So they knew, but they didn't answer the Pharisees. They said, we don't know. Why don't you ask him? Why did they do that? Verse 22 tells you, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. It was because of fear. Fear of being excommunicated. That's the word we'd use today. You know, different in our culture where, you know, somebody told you you couldn't come to this church anymore. You need to leave, sir. We don't want you around here. Okay, fine. You just go to another church down the street. Plenty of choices. But in those days, there weren't any choices. If they kicked you out, you would be shunned by everybody. Everybody would know that you had been excommunicated. Literally an outcast in the community. Today we might call it being banned or silenced. These parents should have been so overjoyed and said, yes, Jesus did it. But you see, that's what fear does to people. Fear always keeps us from living our lives with great freedom. Fear keeps us in bondage. The Bible says fear is a snare. The Bible says fear brings torment. And they just didn't want to get excommunicated. So they said, we don't know. Why don't you ask him? Verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind, and he's now healed. So now they're going to talk to him again. And they said unto him, You ought to give God the praise, mister, because we know this man is a sinner.
Huh.
He answered and said, you know something? Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Don't you love this guy? I mean, here's a guy that was born blind, and now he sees. And they're saying, well, how did this happen? Well, let's get your parents. You, this must be a trick, blah, blah. Look, sir, you need to give God the praise because this man's a sinner. And he said, you know something? I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I'll tell you what I do know. I can see. Then they said to him, verse 26, again. Okay, so what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? They already asked him that. He told him. He answered, I told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Gee, will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you're his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. Oh my goodness, how holy we are. We follow Moses. Yes, we're so holy. You follow that man. We know, verse 29, we know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't know from where he comes from. Watch this guy again. Verse 30, the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. This is pretty marvelous, isn't it? That you don't know from where he comes from, and yet he's opened my eyes? We know that God hears not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does God's will, him he hears. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Wow. Can you imagine that? I mean, think of the power of God to do the impossible. And imagine having a condition that no one had ever been healed from, ever. You're born blind. There's no hope. Nobody ever gets healed from being born blind. This man received deliverance never, ever heard of before. So how could we ever think that our situation would be hopeless? You know, Psalm 103 says that God forgives all iniquities and he heals all diseases. In Matthew 4, it talks about Jesus Christ going about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching. And it says that he went about healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. In Matthew 9, similar, it says that he went about the villages and the cities healing every sickness and every disease among the people. In Matthew 10, Jesus Christ gave power to his disciples and sent them to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. When we need healing, is there any sickness where God cannot bring the healing? This man received healing that no one ever had before. Verse 32 again. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? He's talking to these Pharisees. He went, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Are you guys dumb? Gee. Well, they didn't like his preaching too much. Verse 34. They answered and said unto him, you were altogether born in sins, and you're going to teach us? And they cast him out. Well, wait a second. Born in sins? Is that what they said to him? You were born in sins? How can you be born in sins unless? Look who's saying this. The religious leaders, were they the ones promoting this reincarnation foolishness? Well, somebody was talking about it so much that the disciples even asked Jesus about it. Remember at the beginning of this record? Who did sin? This man. Oh, my goodness. And it says they cast him out, excommunicated him. The Pharisees threw him out. But Jesus accepted him. Let's keep reading. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, so word got back to Jesus that this guy just got excommunicated by the Pharisees, the religious leaders. And Jesus said, I need to go find this guy. When Jesus heard that they had cast him out, verse 35, when he found him, he said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Tell me who he is, I'll believe. Jesus said unto him, You have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. That's it. How simple. It's all God asks of us, to believe. It says in John 3:16 that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words. What did he just say? What was he saying about, what? And they said unto him, Are we blind also? Was that directed towards us? What are you saying? We're blind? Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remains. Wow. You know, it's so remarkable in God's word that time after time you see in the Gospels where simple, wonderful people believed, and yet those who were supposed to be the spiritual leaders, the so-called holy people, the PhD theologians of that day, they were so blind that they didn't recognize or accept that they had the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, walking right there with them. They were indeed spiritually blind. They had physical eyes, but could not see spiritually what was happening right in front of them. We don't want to be like those that are blind, but rather, we want to be those who see. See what? The truth of God's word. If you would look at the book of Acts, the last chapter, Acts 28, this is when Paul was in Rome and he invited the religious leaders to come. He preached to them a good part of the day. You can read the whole record. I just want to pick it up in verse 23. When they had appointed him a day, there came, we're in Acts 28, 23. When they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. He just shared God's word with them all day. Wow, wouldn't that have been special? And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they just didn't have a consensus, these religious leaders. They departed. Well, thanks, Paul. God bless. See you later. When they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. So after Paul speaks, this is when they left. Paul said, Well spake the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, or turn back, and I should heal them. And he went on, Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. You know, today, there are many people whose hearts are waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. But if they would take the time to hear the word of God and see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn back to God, God would bless them and help them and heal them. God's word opens our eyes. Remember, Jesus Christ said that God's word is truth and that the truth makes you free. Knowing the truth keeps us from believing error, and sharing God's word with others, we can truly help people. And that's what Paul did. As you read the book of Acts and church epistles, and in Acts 26, back up a couple chapters, this is when Paul was standing before King Agrippa, giving his defense. Paul shares with King Agrippa the commission that he received from Jesus Christ. In Acts 26, verse 16. Well, verse 15, "And I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But rise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of these things which you have seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send you.'" For what purpose? "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith," or by believing, "that is in me." That was his commission. And that's what he did. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, so that they could receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by believing that is in me. Psalm 19 says that God's words are right, rejoicing the heart, and that they enlighten our eyes. In Psalm 119, it says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law," or out of the word. Open my eyes that I can behold wondrous things. We're going to close in Ephesians chapter 1. And this is a prayer. This is God's desire for you, God's desire for me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And here was the prayer. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." The usage of the word spirit in this verse refers to God as the one who originates or communicates information. Verse 17 would be better understood as, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you information which he originates and communicates." That is to say, revealed wisdom in the knowledge of him. Paul prayed that God would give them information which comes from God, that they could receive revealed wisdom from God. For what purpose? It says, "The eyes," verse 18, "of your understanding being enlightened." Why? "That you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." In order for the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, we need revealed wisdom from God. In order for us to know what the hope of God's calling is, the eyes of our understanding need revealed wisdom. In order for us to know what the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints is, the eyes of our understanding need revealed wisdom from God. And in order for us to know the exceeding greatness of God's power to those who believe, the eyes of our understanding need revealed wisdom from God. And certainly, without question, there is great revealed wisdom about these matters right here in the book of Ephesians. And there is also great revealed wisdom concerning many, many matters in all of God's wonderful word. And so that's why we take the time, that's why we make the time to read and study God's wonderful word. Because when we understand what the scriptures say, our eyes are indeed open. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for giving us your word so that we could have our eyes open, our ears open, our hearts open to receive your revealed wisdom. Father, so that we could know the truth which makes us free. Father, so that we could see your great plan of salvation and redemption and all the great benefits from accepting Jesus as Lord and believing that you raised him from the dead. That we could see, Father, who we are in your eyes. And Father, that we could claim your many promises that are in your word. We thank you this morning for that wonderful word. And Father, we ask you to continue to give us understanding. And Father, we ask you to help us in our day-by-day endeavors, that we could trust you and believe you and be like that wonderful man who was blind but got his sight back. That, Father, we could just say, Lord, I believe. And we thank you for these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thanks for being here this morning. We will be back again next Sunday, unless, of course, Christ returns, which would be wonderful. Again, feel free to share the phone number to anyone you think might want to join us. And if you think that this teaching might be helpful for someone, it'll be posted on my blog. The blog is confidenceandjoy.com. I'll have it posted up in just a little while. It'll be under the tab Recent Teachings. In the meantime, enjoy spending time reading God's Word this week and praying and expecting God to supply all you need in your personal life. And keep praying lots for our country. I love you, and may God bless you abundantly.